Second Chronicles 34. And I'm telling you, this thing has stirred me up for some time now. It's just been so good. And I won't scratch the surface, but it's been sure enough good. We'll just kind of tiptoe through here, skip across these verses here, and just get the gist of it. And it's going to follow along with that brokenness and contrition and humility that we looked at this morning. That trembling at the word of God. We'll see that in a person's life here. And it's the life of Josiah. And Stephen, I want y'all to listen to this. Caitlin, how old are you?
Eight.
You're eight. Raven, how old are you?
Seven.
You're seven. John David, listen. And I've referenced Josiah a few times, but I want you to understand something. Here's Josiah, and at the age of 8 years old, Josiah's daddy died. He's got no daddy. He inherited his father's throne. He is the king now of this country. He's the king. An 8 year old sitting on the throne, ruling his kingdom. An 8 year old. And what blows my mind is he did a really, really good job. Did a good job at it. My goodness, man. An 8 year old ruling the kingdom and doing a good job. I mean, you can't get an 8 year old today to get a good score on a video game. And he's ruling the kingdom. His great grandpa was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great, good king. I mean, yeah, he made mistakes, but he was a good man of God. He was a good king, Hezekiah. His great grandpa. And then his grandpa, if you remember, Hezekiah was supposed to die, and Hezekiah went and prayed to the Lord, and immediately the Lord gave Hezekiah 15 more years added on to his life. And he told Hezekiah, he said, I'm going to do some things now, Hezekiah. I'm going to judge this nation because these people's turned their back on me, and they've went after the ways of Balaam and, you know, everything. He said, I'm going to judge. But he said, you know what? I'll spare you the trouble in your life. And so Hezekiah was going to die, and he asked for 15 more years, and God gave him 15 more years. In those 15 years, Hezekiah had a son by the name of Manasseh. Well, when Hezekiah died, Manasseh took over the throne. Manasseh was the wickedest king that probably ever lived. He did more evil, more vile, just wicked, wicked man. Set up every abomination under the sun. He turned everybody against God that would turn against God. Everything that people could worship, everything that he could imagine. He made images. He had idolatry. He set up false altars. He set up false priests. And man, they done everything they could against God. Everything. But God turned and stepped into Manasseh's life and let Babylon take them captives. And while Manasseh was in Babylon, bound in fetters of chains, he said over there, believe it or not, Manasseh repented. Manasseh turned back to the Lord and told God he was sorry. And God heard his prayer and granted his prayer and took Manasseh and him out of Babylon and put him back over there ruling over his kingdom. And Manasseh went back to his kingdom and went down to the house of God and tore down those idols and cleaned up the house of God. But the thing was, he only did that at church. When he went home, he still had those idols. He still had those false gods. He still practiced wrong stuff. But he did the right things down at the house of God. When I read that, I thought, man, how many people do the same thing? They're one thing at church and another thing at home. You know how many times I've heard people go, you know what? There ain't nobody going to tell me what I'm going to do down at my house. Now, you know, that preacher might just say things down at that church, but you don't tell me how to live down at my house. You know what? Preacher don't tell me how to live. The Word of God's what tells us how to live. And here Manasseh, we can see in his life, and we'll see the fruit of him getting things right in one place, but then still down there at his home, things were messed up. Manasseh had him a boy. And we'll pick up on him. I guess we can go back. I said chapter 34. Let's go back and read, pick up in verse chapter 33. Look at verse 18. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Let's don't go there. Let's go to verse 20. Yeah. So Manasseh slept with his fathers. There he died. And they buried him in his own house. And Amon his son reigned in his stead. Now, this is our boy Josiah's daddy. Amon is Josiah's daddy. Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, Manasseh got out of Babylon, went down there to the church, tore the idols down. But down there in his home, he had a little old boy, and his boy seen all them idols still set up. So what did his boy do? His boy grew up, and his boy began to worship these idols in the public. And he did evil, the Bible says here, in the sight of the Lord. And he did so evil that the people of the country, they conspired against him, said, "We're going to kill him." And so they ended up killing him. And then the Lord turned that thing around, and those people that killed them, people killed them for killing them, for killing him. So the Lord just kept getting down to the nitty-gritty of this. They said, he humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. Now that's where we are. Look at verse 1, 34:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Here's an 8-year-old boy. His great-grandpa's gone. His grandpa's gone. His daddy's gone. By the standards of our world, if you look at this 8-year-old boy, you're going to go, there's no way that kid will ever amount to a hill of beans. He don't have any father in his life, no granddaddy. He's got no leadership, nobody really there, nobody. 8 years old, nobody ever showed him how to treat his wife. There he is, thrown in a position that he didn't ask for. I mean, a place because of murder and conspiracy. He's put in this place that, man, an 8-year-old just wasn't used to landing in a spot like this. But the Bible says, as an 8-year-old boy, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And here's what I like. He didn't turn to the left. He didn't waver, son. He stayed on track for God. He kept his focus on God. Now, wait a minute. He did every bit of this and didn't even have a Bible. He never had a Bible. Josiah didn't know what the King James Bible was. He didn't have a clue. We're going to show you that in just a minute. Well, Josiah, 8-year-old boy sitting here trying to rule this kingdom. Just amazes me, ladies and gentlemen, that let me just go ahead and say this because I'm dodging it, but I'm stumbling with it. You don't have an excuse not to live for God. Here's an 8-year-old boy that did right in the sight of the Lord and never did waver in it. And listen, he could have very easily went, "Well, my daddy was, my daddy Ammon, he was wicked as the devil. My grandpa, y'all know Manasseh, man, he set up more idols than anybody ever in the land, ever. My grandpa was wicked." No, he didn't do that. Well, you got no, you know what excuses are? You know what excuses are? They're crutches. That's all. It's just an excuse. Pointing the finger, blaming people. Man, I'm telling you, you just don't understand. Yeah, well, here's an 8-year-old boy. You know what? Most of us at least had somebody to blame. He didn't have nobody in his life to even blame. And every example that was before him was wicked and died because of their wickedness. Papa died when he was 6 years old. His daddy died when he was 8 years old. But instead of Josiah getting bitter and hateful and, you know, pointing fingers. This is what he said: when mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He stayed on track with God. 8-year-old boy. Pretty good, ain't JD? Old boy had something, I'll tell you that much. You know where I think he got it? I think he got something from his old great-grandpa. I think Hezekiah passed something down in that family. You hear me? I just do, man. Blaming it on others ain't nothing but a crutch, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, God's not buying the excuses. He just don't buy that junk. I don't care. I do, but I don't care what your background is. If you're willing, God will make something of your present life. God will make something of your future life. Well, it ain't been good. That's fine. And I hate that for you. And I wished everything was just perfect in your life. But it ain't. It's life. We all got problems. We all got stuff that we just baggage that we have to drag around. But you know what? God can take it and make something great out of it. Just like he did this guy's life. Look at verse 2. Let's see how God did this in Josiah's life. And the Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For, listen, in the 8th year of his reign, how old was he? 16. Thank you. In the 8th year of his reign, John David, there's a 16-year-old boy, now pay attention. The 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. What about that? A 16-year-old boy. From the time he was 8, for 8 years now, he's following after God. He got 16. You'd think he was doing pretty good. But when he got 16, he had a revival. That's what this is. When he got 16 years old, he had a personal revival. And said, you know what? Apparently, I've been missing it, man. I got to get after the God of David, our father. Man, 16. Wouldn't it be something if our 16-year-olds, wouldn't it be something if our 40-year-olds, man, I've been in church. I read my Bible. Wouldn't it be something if we could say, boy, I'm getting after it today like I ain't got after it. Gonna get after it even harder today. We already have some very positive stuff in this young man's life. I mean, what else do you need to say? This is a good young man. And keep in mind, he was raised in the midst of a bunch of idolatry and false worship. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped the fish. They worshiped the moon, the stars. They worshiped the God of the sea. The God of the trees. I mean, anything that they could come up with. Oh, look at the trees waving. Oh, blessed art thou tree. And they just worshiped everything that they could come up with. And that's what he was raised in. Seen that stuff up to the time he was 8 years old. Isn't that amazing? 8-year-old boy has set his heart toward the true and living God. I think that's amazing. And here he is in verse 3, 16. He steps up his walk with God. When he turns 20 years old, look at then he says, in his 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, how old is he now in the 12th year? 20. 20 years old now. 20 years old. He's going to have another revival. He had one when he was 16. Son, he stepped it up. He stepped up his walk with God. Now here he is turning 20 years old. He's going to take it to a whole nother level. I like it. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. 20 years old, the Bible said, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. He didn't send a bunch of strong and mighty men out to do it. I tell you what he did. He saddled up his little horse and he went out there with them. He said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to purge our land, buddy. We're going to get rid of everything that ain't of God. I like it. A 20-year-old, son. I mean, you're talking about strengthening his shoulders, man, and rearing back. He said, everything that ain't of God, we're going to destroy it in our land. What a revival, church. What would it be if we did that in our homes? What would it be if we did that in our churches? What would it be if we did that in our walk, our life with God? Purged everything that wasn't of God. This 20-year-old did it. And by the way,
He didn't even have a good daddy.
Sorry, daddy. I mean, a sorry daddy died when he was 8 years old. Sorry, grandpa died when he was 6 years old. Look at verse 4 and 5. Right after that purging, the Bible says, look, this is the midst of that purging. They break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. He was there, ladies and gentlemen. He made sure the job got done right. And the images that were on the high above them, he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images, he break in pieces. Now watch this. He didn't just break them in pieces. Look what the next thing he does. And made dust of them. There's one passage, I believe, in the Bible that says he took a maul to these images, these graven images, all these things that they had made, just like this thing right here. They would take a lot of times and they would just tear that thing down, sort of like a Perkins kid would do. But then they left pieces behind. He had to miss that. I've always loved them things. It's been the most favorite thing in this whole building to me was them Roman columns. Worthy art thou, Roman column. Worthy art thou. Oh, and
I thought that pillar would become an idol, so I was thinking
that alone. Well, I promise you one thing. I've only got half the idols in my life I had yesterday. Michael, before y'all got here, one of them Perkins kids broke the other one. I just want y'all to know that. Y'all's kids are the best in the church right now. God help us. I don't even know what I was talking about.
They're being rid of all the idols.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, him taking them instead of leaving. And instead of leaving them three or four pieces laying there, because them people were so crazy, they would have picked up those pieces. And they would have carried the top of that thing home and they would have worshipped that piece. That's right. They would have took that middle section and kicked, somebody would have grabbed, oh, I can get, and would have kicked. You know what this old boy did? They went in there and break it. He said, that ain't good enough. Give me that maul. And he took that thing and ground it down to a powder. He stomped that thing until there was nothing left for people to get. Whatever they got was going to slip through their fingers. I want you to see what he did. I love this guy, man. He ground that stuff to powder. And the Bible says, and he broke the pieces and made dust of them. Watch this. And he strode it upon the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. Hey, y'all want these idols, you dead suckers? Here you go. And he took the dust of them idols and went up there and threw it on the graves of them people that worshipped him. Here you go. See what it can do for you now. I like that, man. I like that. This old boy had a little bit of something about him. Verse 5 says, and he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altar. Oh, false priest that his grandpa ordained and put in place. He dug them suckers up and burned their bones. He said, no, we ain't having none of that. They're so wicked. We're going to burn their bones. Get rid of every bit of it. We don't want none of that. You talking about purging. You talking about cleaning things up. I mean, man, there's things that we've done got rid of. But I'm telling you, Zach, we've swept stuff under the rug and we've kind of forgot about them. And they're lurking back there in the back of our mind. And there's times that we might go back to them. This old boy said, absolutely not. We're going to dig them bones up and we're going to burn them. There's nothing that these people are going to go back to. I like it. 20 years old. You know what most 20-year-olds are doing? Looking for the day they turn 21 so they can go to the ABC store. You know what I mean? 20-year-olds, I know their dad's planning a big party for them when they turn 21, and they're going to give them their first, well, what they think is their first legal drink of alcohol. They think it's going to be their first drink. It's actually going to be their first legal drink for the age of 21. It's a shame. And here's a boy 20 years old going, you know what? What? No. No, I ain't worried about that. We're going to go purge the land. We're going to get rid of all these gods. It's going to be God, the true and living God, and Him alone. That's all we're going to have. I like that. Well, listen, if you don't even have, here's what I think in Josiah's life, and if you have a different opinion, you're more than welcome, but just studying his life, I think that he had some good people around him. I mean, his grandpa was crazy, and his daddy was crazy, but I do think there were some people that was left that knew God. And I believe when old Josiah took that throne, I believe there were some old wise men around there going, "Hey, Josiah, let me tell you something, son. Best thing you could ever do was follow after God. Josiah, I believe the best thing you'd ever do, son, is go through our land and purge it. Josiah, let me tell you something. Your grandpa messed up, son. And your daddy messed up. But I'll promise you, there's a God in heaven that loves these people. And he wants to bless us. And we can remember Josiah. There was a time when God smiled upon his youngins and said, man, we've turned against him. And God's judging us. And God's poured his wrath out on us. And Josiah, we just want to tell you the right things to do. And I believe old Josiah, well, you know what? I believe I'll go after y'all's God. Believe I'll go out. Hey, Josiah, let me tell you about David. I'm going to tell you how the Lord blessed David. I believe him old boy sat around and told him how God and David got along. I believe Josiah went, you know what? I want the God of my father David. You know what I'm trying to say to you is you may not always be able to go to your Bible and put your finger on the right verse. There's questions in your life. There's questions in your life. There's times in your life where you might need some advice, where you need some wisdom, where you need some help. And you may not always be able to point and put your finger on a verse, but I promise you, God will put people in your life that'll help you. That's right. God will put people in your life that'll help you. Man, I tell you, Lord, God have mercy. Raising children, we need all the help. You know, it used to take a community to raise a child. I mean, mamas and daddies was depending on the neighbors for help. Listen, you can't even let your grandchildren go over to see grandma and grandpa anymore. Everything mom and dad says again. I mean, man, I try to be careful around here as silly as I am with some of these children. Huh? I mean, I'd give them every one rotten teeth. I mean, I'd feed them candy till midnight and never make them go to school. Huh? Y'all come to, hey, boys and girls, listen, y'all come to my house. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to eat good food. You can eat candy. You don't have to worry about, you know, going to class and they, oh. Hey. But guess what? Y'all don't get to come to my house. Because I also got trees out there that we whittle down the toothpicks on children's hinder parts. And I like that. That's my favorite part. Just line up and get whippings. I love it. And the mosquitoes line up outside the house and sing when I see the blood. And boy, they see it. Amen. That's good stuff. Well, I'm just saying, Michael, I seen y'all go over there and tell that girl, you know, you've him hauled around with your lunch and now you don't get dessert. I respect that. I respect that. There's things that people does that I don't like. I respect it. That's your rule. That's your standard. That's what you teach it. That's fine. I'm going to respect that. You know what? Whether I like it or not, as a grandparent, I'm going to support it because that's what they're teaching that little girl. Right. And my goodness, try to support what Zach and Amber does. The grace of God bless her heart. Terrible, Auntie Mama. It's terrible.
She's got it rough.
She's got it so rough. She needed a daddy like Amon. She needed a daddy like my grandpa. Well, the reason I say that, ladies and gentlemen, because it takes a lot of people to raise a kid sometimes. There used to be a time when you could depend on your neighbors to do the right things by your children. Huh? You know what? God help us have a congregation here where we can help each other with our children. That's right. You know, I still need help with my children. That's right. I got a boy out there, 20-some years old, got another one in his 20s, early 20s. I need help. You know what? I hope to God a good Holy Ghost preacher crosses their path one day. Amen. I do. Boy, I hope some good Holy Ghost preacher walks up on Jacob down there one day and got me just full of the Spirit of God and can say something. Man, I need his help. Do you understand that? I need his help. I mean, man, I like to see my oldest boy just have a heart after God. I like to see my baby boy have a heart after God. And I need the help of other people sometimes. I think, man, that's what old Josiah had. I think he had some people around him that knew how to help him, that had good wisdom, that told him good things. And, man, he obeyed that stuff and did the right stuff. Well, let's move on. I got stuck there. You know how many times I've received instruction in my life? I've received instruction from people and didn't have a clue. Couldn't put my finger on it in the Bible. But I could sit down in my living room today. Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, I heard stuff years ago. And I mean, it was good instruction. I've heard preachers preach stuff. And I didn't know exactly how to rightly divide all that kind of stuff. But man, I kind of took that wisdom or that instruction of the Lord. Man, I'll sit down in my living room today and I'll come across one of them verses and God will say, there it is. Amen. I mean, it was as simple as what I told y'all this morning. They just things, man, God will show you in that word sometimes years later, and you go, man, there it is. I've been practicing that all these years. Couldn't put my finger on it, but there it is. God just showed me in the word. It's just good to follow after good wisdom and righteousness. It'll sit well with you, I promise you that. Look at verses. Hey, keep this in mind. This boy is doing all this. Okay, I want you to get this. This boy has went through and he's purged the land. He's took all them other gods and he's broke them down to be nothing but piles of dust. He still don't have a Bible. He's doing every bit of this without one Bible verse. He don't even have anything that says thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. He don't have anything that says thou shalt not bear false. He don't have anything that says in the beginning God. Nothing. He's just operating off of what God has given him just in everyday life and through these people around him. That's all he's got. Man, we've got an entire King James Bible. We have compiled the very words of God in one book. This old boy didn't have that. And I was just real nice and left that alone. We've got all that we've got. And still got all these idols. He had nothing and destroyed them all. Look at verse 6 and 7. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh. He did all this deceit, all this purging. And to Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. My life, amen, son. Glory to God. 20 years old. 20 years old, and look at what he's done, and he's nowhere near with God where he ought to be. Would you believe that? He's nowhere near with God where he ought to be. He's still a long ways off, ladies and gentlemen. God, this is sobering to me. I'm telling you. Look at verses 8 and 9. Now in the 18th year of his reign, how old is he? 26, thank you. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had, boy, the Lord's letting us see this kid grow up to a man. When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azai, and Seth can probably say that better than me, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder. Listen, he sent them to repair the house of the Lord his God. The church house, the tabernacle, that place, that church was tore all to pieces. So he took these group of men and said, listen, man, we've got this thing purged. I want y'all to go build back, fix all them breaches in the house of God. Fix it. Send y'all down there. Take care of all this. That's a blessing. Man, we need us a place. I mean, he went back down there to Jerusalem. He said, we need us a place where we can go worship our God. And he went down there to repair the house of the Lord. And he sent those workers down there, them carpenters, them mason men, all them laborers down there to get after it. Now look. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and all the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem. Good. Now hold on. Look at verse 14. We're skipping to keep from, reading all them scriptures. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest, somebody say it.
Are y'all following me?
What did Hilkiah bring?
What's the Bible say?
Man, Lord of God, after 26 years,
they found them a Bible.
After 26 years, they found the Bible down there in that pile of rubbish at the house of the Lord. Man, they went down there and started scaring around. They started turning over stones and turning over them old big old beams. And guess what was laying in the middle of all that pile? It was the books of Moses. The Word of God laying down there. Man, I just love what they did with this. Look at verse 15. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servant, they do it. I love it. Look at verse 19. Look at what happened when he heard the word of God. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. He's fixing to have revival, sure enough. I mean, he's fixing that. The Bible tells us in this same chapter here, y'all, that they took that book, the book of Moses, the book of the law, and they sat down with that king, Josiah, and he listened to every word of that book. Every bit of it. That man sat there and read the entire word of God to him. And Josiah sat there and took it in. And when he took it in, he fell on his face and began to rip his clothes off of him. Because the Bible says this. God said, don't rend your garments, rend your hearts. Do you know what I believe? I believe when he heard the laws of God, that it rent his heart so much that he rent his clothes. I believe that when he heard the laws, the judgments, and all those things that were written in the laws of God, he seen how far away he was. He seen how much, man, in all of his efforts and all of his doing and all of his obedience and all of his triumph and all of his walk with God. I believe for the first time when he heard the word of God and he seen how far off they was, I believe he fell down and said, oh God, have mercy. And he began to rent his clothes. In repentance, friend, that's what that's about, repentance. I can see Josiah sitting there as the word was penetrating his heart. I'll promise you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, Josiah, and we see it way too often today, Josiah didn't flick his hair. I mean, man, he was reading the word of God to him. He didn't sit there and twiddle his thumbs like a lot of people do. And he sure didn't get out and start checking his text messages. And he wasn't concerned about what was going on in this world. But man, that word was tearing his heart out of him. And he realized, oh my God, we're in a trouble. We're in a mess. God's going to judge us, man, for all the sins that we've committed against him. We're in a mess. And he began to rip his clothes. Lay aside the garments, the old songwriter said, that are stained with sin. I believe he's seen the sin stained garments and said, you know what? Everything is wrong. Let's jump down to verse 27. I believe the old boy's repenting. I believe he's having a revival like he's never had in his entire life because he finally got the word of God in his hand. Verse 27 says this. Oh boy. Whoo, Lord, listen. Watch this. Because thine heart was tender. This is what God said to him. Because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God. This is after he heard the word of God. And thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Son, God loves a broken heart. God loves contrition. Now, I'm telling you something. Here's a man, ladies and gentlemen, I bet it would be hard-pressed for us to put our finger on anything in his life. But I'll tell you one thing. When God opened up that word to him, he started seeing all kinds of junk wrong in his life. Man, when he seen that, instead of going, well, you know what? I've been good. I went to church. I tore down all these idols. I've turned this nation back to God. We've rebuilt the house of God. I've done all. No, sir, buddy. Not one time did he bring that stuff up. He began to just rend them garments, and his heart was broken. God said, oh, my boy, I love him. I believe God was moved with compassion and said, I love Josiah. Boy, Josiah, you're doing right. That contrition, that brokenness, that humility. Josiah stood there and trembled at the laws of God as they were being read to him. And God began to smile on the very life. You're talking about revival, friend. He had it here like he never had it in his life. Verse 28 says, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Isn't that a blessing? Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place. God said, you know what, Josiah, I'm still going to judge them. I'm still going to judge this nation. But you don't ever have to worry about seeing it. I'm going to let you die in peace, buddy. Amen. Huh? Boy, that's a blessing. Say, why, preacher? Because he humbled himself under the word of God. He was contrite towards God in his heart through the word of God. And God said, you know what? I'm going to let you have a peaceful life and a peaceful death. Take care of you, boy. I will bring upon this land and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Listen. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Josiah said, hey, everybody in the land, I don't care if you're rich and poor, I don't care if you're big or little, young or old, everybody come around. And he read them the entire book of the law. You don't, that's a pretty good revival. Man, I thank God for this. This is a real move of God, ladies and gentlemen. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. All the days. Man, he stayed with it. I like that. Look with me, if you will, please, real quick, real quick. Over in 2 Kings, it's dealing with Josiah in 2 Kings 23. I'm going to show you a few things and we're done. Here in 2 Kings 23, you'll see that after he received the word of the Lord, he went back through the land. And we just read it. He went back through after he got it and he purged the land again. I thought he done purged it. Did he not just purge it of every stinking thing that he knew? Yeah, but he didn't have the Bible. Now that he's got the Bible, his eyes has been opened up to a bunch of other things. See, at one time, there were sodomites living in that land. If you read it over in the book of 2 Kings, you'll see it. 2 Kings chapter 23 and 24, all through there, it's good stuff. And the Bible says that Josiah went back through there and purged that land after he received the word of God. And they had told him there was a might have been an argument. I think perhaps there might have even been an argument because there were Sodomites living in that land. And some of them said, well, sodomy, we shouldn't let that go. And then you had them sodomite sympathizers. They said, they're peaceful people. They're not doing anything wrong. You ought to be able to marry whoever you love. And they're kind to one another. And so they just let them be. But when Josiah got the word of God, guess what the Bible said? He got rid of them suckers. I mean, literally suckers. He got rid of them. He went over there, the Bible said, he destroyed their house. He didn't give them a place to inhabit. I mean, this is what happened, ladies and gentlemen. There was things like that that nobody ever, I mean, they never was settled on because these people wasn't really causing any problem. They were just, you know, killing each other. But Josiah just kind of, but when he got the word of God, he got down there, man, and every stinking thing that was wrong, the word of God, God didn't appreciate them Sodomites in the land. Josiah saw where God spoke against Sodomites and he went over there and run them out, destroyed their houses. I like it. 26 years old. Well, Lord have mercy. Let me ask y'all a question. Do you think Josiah would have backed down to this stupid crowd today when they said, you better not burn them Korans? That's where we're at. You understand? You remember that little old preacher that said, I think he really wanted attention, but he said he was going to burn a Koran, and they blasted that sucker on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, WXI. Every one of them was blasting this preacher, and finally he backed off from burning the Koran. Could you see Josiah with a Koran in his hand? Son, he would smash that thing down to powder, get it in a powder form, load it up on an altar somewhere, and burn every drop of it, pour it on the grave. Say, now y'all can have it. Here you go. Take them ashes. That's right, buddy. I like it, man. He just went after everything. He's doing things that he sees written in the laws of God. He's obeying that book, every jot, every tittle, everything it says. He's doing it exactly the way God said. When God spoke, he moved. When he saw that thing in the Word of God, he didn't ask questions. He didn't say, should we do this? You think we ought to do that? Friend, when he seen something in the Word of God, he didn't ask questions. It was settled. He said, this is what we're doing. This ain't what we're doing. I like that. Real presence of God in this old boy's life. Everything that was wrong, he destroyed. Before the Word of God came, they argued about some of this stuff, I would think. But after the Word of God came, that was settled. There wasn't no more arguments. There wasn't even a discussion. He just took care of it. That's what we ought to do, baby girls, what I'm trying to say. We ought to take care of this stuff. When God shows us something in His Bible, we're not even second guess it. We're not even ponder upon it. We're to just take and do it. The only things we're to ponder about is those things we're to ponder about. But when God is playing in that blessed book about the do's and the don'ts, listen, ladies and gentlemen, boy, hallelujah, everything ain't a law neither. We're going to see that. Everything ain't just about the law. What I want us to see is maybe we're doing pretty good. We might be living pretty clean. But as we hear the Word of God, we should always respond correctly to the Word of God. Respond correctly. You know, and everybody thinks, you know, well, you got to get down here and get saved. That may not be the correct thing for you right now. I mean, I think everybody ought to be saved, but maybe God wants to deal with some things in your life. Maybe God wants to move you a little bit somewhere. Maybe God wants to do something. I'm just saying whatever it is. Respond correctly to the Word of God. Well, I would think that Josiah had real revival when he was 20, but boy, when he got 26 and got a hold of the Word of God, he really got revival. Look at verse, I said 2 Kings chapter 23. Look at verses 24 and 25 and 2 Kings. Them some long verses. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the Lord. Words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before. Now listen, no king before him. No king before him ever lived this tight. He didn't have a daddy. His grandpa was crazy. He didn't have a Bible for the first 26 years of his life. And the Bible just said nobody, no king ever walked as good as he did. Hey, David, get in here behind Josiah. Because David was a king too. But he didn't do it like Josiah did, buddy. Amen, son. No man. He said before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. Listen, according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. There's never been one. David was the man after God's own heart. David never got after God like Josiah. Never. He never did it quite as good as Josiah did it. And nobody else has since then. Isn't that amazing? An 8-year-old boy with all them odds. What's your excuse? What's your excuse for not living for God? Why can't me and you live for Jesus? Well, you just don't know my upbringing. Okay, I understand. Josiah had it so much better. It's amazing, isn't it? Excuses. Turn with me in with the last verse. Last verse. I promise you. Some of y'all was looking at me like people was looking at Zach in Black Creek. Zach made no friends in Black Creek preaching 1 hour and 5 minutes after the service was dead. 1 hour and 5 minutes before he got in the pulpit. But it didn't seem to hinder him none.
So, I wasn't tired.
Zach was feeling good. Me, his wife was back there going, idiot. I'm just kidding. It wasn't an idiot. There's a few adjectives in there. So. Isaiah 57. I think everybody was afraid to say anything. I wasn't. I was telling your wife, he needs to shut up. Because ain't nobody listening. Everybody's mad at him. They're all done. Their ears is closed. And I seen Eric over there pinching Hannah. I never seen him. I seen him pinch the babies. I never seen him pinch his wife. He's pinching his wife, trying to get her to cry to carry her out. Isaiah 57:15. Listen to what God said. I was trying to think of something. Gracie, we're having church and choir practice later on. I was trying to think of something. I couldn't.
Besides, serve the Lord, even though you had all those odds stacked against
them. Huh?
Besides, serve the Lord, even though you had all those odds stacked against them.
Yeah. Man, you're doing a better job preaching this than me. I thought there was a verse that I was wanting to look at. But just stay right there. Let me look at something. Maybe it was in my NIV. I don't know. It's got different stuff in it. It's so good. I think he burned all the NIVs and everything. Huh? Hey, man. That's right. I'd like to see Josiah today. What does this say? No. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:15. We read it, the very first verse that we read this morning. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. God said, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now let me ask you a question. When you see that verse in Isaiah 57, can you get a better understanding of that looking at the life of Josiah? How God revived him and revived him through that humility and that brokenness and that contrition. And that, boy, he heard the word of God and sat there and trembled at the word of God, huh? God smiled on that young man. It's a blessing. Father, we thank you for this day. I pray, blessed God, that you'd help us, Lord, that we would be broke and have a contrite spirit, a contrite heart, a broke heart, a contrite spirit. Blessed Father, I pray that you'd help us to tremble at thy word. Help us to, God, to fear thy word. God, I pray that you'd help us not to rebel, but obey it. We love you and we thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is it your birthday too? That's a good boy right there. I'm telling you what. That's little John. Hey, little John. LJ. That's a good boy right there. Oh, thank you.